I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Coot Blackson. A charismatic visionary and transformational teacher, Coot offers a fresh, bold look at spiritual awareness for a whole new generation. Coot's unique lineage laid the blueprint for his approach to breaking down barriers and setting the gifts and greatness of others free. Born in Ghana, West Africa, Coot's multicultural upbringing as the child of a Japanese mother and a Ghanaian father has spanned four different continents. His unique lineage laid the blueprint for his approach to breaking down barriers and unlocking an individual's true gifts and greatness. Coot, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, my friend.
So I wonder if we could start off by talking a little bit about your personal experiences that I just described in your bio. And what is it in your experiences that have helped you understand what it takes to smash the plateau?
You know, that's a tough question and an easy question. You know, at some level, what's helped me is my own upbringing and what has provided for me my own unique perspective, my own unique way of seeing life, which has impacted my own worldview. You know, I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London, and pretty much the last 18 years or so, 19 years, I've lived in the U.S. And as of this moment, I pretty much travel half the year speaking, coaching, training, facilitating events and seminars around the world. So for me, my worldview and what I think helps me, you could say, smash the plateau of limitations and ceilings and perspectives and paradigms is just being involved and coming from a background of so many different unique cultures and perspectives and viewpoints. My father, you know, built 300 churches in Ghana, West Africa, had hundreds of thousands of followers. My mother was as Japanese as you can get, you know, Buddhist, and she didn't speak English. She didn't speak English. She didn't speak Japanese, and they came together in an explosion of culture. And so I grew up in this melting pot of culture and diversity. So I think that really had an impact. You know, when I was a young boy, I always felt a deep calling to serve humanity. I remember being around age five and feeling this burning, intense fire in my gut around age five, age six to serve humanity. And I didn't know why. I just felt like my life wasn't my life. And I think one thing that really helped me, talk about living outside of the box a little bit, one thing that really helped me was being around age five, age six, age seven in that zone. I was a chubby kid lost in the crowd, and I remember literally seeing a crippled woman crawling on the floor in Ghana, West Africa, and she picked up the sand that this man walked on, wiped on her face, and stood up. So you could call that a miracle. And this man was my father. So week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see, deaf people hear. I mean, the kind of things that you typically might see on TV and think, is that real? You know, as a six, seven-year-old kid, I literally saw it firsthand. Blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, people coming to this man. This man was my father. Coming to this man, my father in crutches, and he would look at them and say, you know, throw away your crutches. Or a woman who would come in a wheelchair, and he would look at them and say, why are you in a wheelchair? You're not sick. Stand up. And sure enough, 5-10 minutes later, she would walk out without the wheelchair. So I grew up with the sense that anything was possible, that there were no limits if we truly believed and aligned ourselves with a higher reality. So I grew up without a sense of limitations in that sense. So that really impacted my life. You know, I believe in miracles. I believe anything is possible if we align ourselves with that higher reality. So that's a little bit, you know.
Right. And how did that translate into what you're doing as an adult?
Yeah, I mean, how it translated is I became very, as a young boy, obsessed with, you know, I started speaking in my father's churches when I was age 8 in front of thousands of people. When I was 14, I was ordained as a minister, given the mandate to take over his church. And honestly, I became very obsessed from a very young age, 7, 8, 9 years old, with the questions of who am I and why am I here and what's the purpose of life. And, you know, I grew up in the poorest part of London, where so many people seemed so miserable. And I looked around at life And I just started to ask myself the questions, like, what's the purpose of this whole existence? What is life? Why do some people who have everything seem to be miserable? Why do some people have nothing? Some of them seem to be fulfilled. And what is the nature of life? Is it just to wake up, go to sleep, eat shit, have sex, make babies, go on a vacation, make some money, and then die? Or surely there has to be more, right? There has to be more, because something's not working when I look around at the general population. And that was as a young boy. And so I became obsessed. And David, I started reading, I mean, literally from 8 to 18, I read 800 books trying to understand the nature of this reality. And, you know, pop psychology, the Deepak Chopra's, Marianne Williamson's of the world, to the Eastern mystics, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogis, you know, the Ramakrishnas, the Ramana Maharishis, the Eastern mystics, the Yoganandas, to the Western philosophers in a quest. And so my life was set out for me. And I knew at 14, my father announced to his community, hundreds of thousands of people, that my son will be taking over the church. And I saw that he had mapped out my life. And I knew that that wasn't my path. I knew that that wasn't my truth. Yet, you know, to be honest, I was too afraid to oppose my father. I was afraid that if I knew my truth, but if I was afraid that if I followed my truth, if I listened to my own soul, that I would be outcast, I would lose his love. I didn't want to rock the boat, so I kept quiet and went along with it. And it was a tremendous pain for 4 years. And so what really moved me and gave me the courage was I turned 17, 18, and I obviously had to make a decision at that time, go to university or not. I decided to not go to university. And I realized that I could be successful by everyone else's standards if I followed the life that he had set out for me, if I denied my truth, if I betrayed my soul and went along with his vision for my life and everyone else's vision for my life, because everyone else had all of these expectations for who I should be and what I should do with my life. And I didn't want to disappoint anyone. And I think that's one of the things that also stops us from truly honoring ourselves. And I looked at the trajectory of my life, and I knew if I followed his vision for my life, it would be equivalent to death. It would be a soul suicide. I might be successful by everyone else's standards, but if I didn't have myself, if I don't have myself, I have nothing. And what's the point of having anything in the material world if I don't have my soul and my own integrity? And so I decided to honor my soul and follow my own path. And I think, you know, what I realized and what's really helped me get to this point, what I realized was I knew the truth. And I think many of us, we feel the truth of what we're here to do. We feel the deeper truth of what we're meant to be doing, whether it's a career, whether it's a relationship. But quite often, I think we're afraid of telling the truth to ourselves. We're afraid of honoring the deepest truth in our heart because we're afraid of the consequences. For me, it was loss of community, being abandoned, losing my father, losing his love, being outcast. And I think many of us, we feel a deeper truth. Maybe we feel this job is not quite aligned for me, is not quite right for me, or this relationship is no longer resonating or a vibrational match. And yet we're afraid to honor our deepest truth. And what I found limits us is we play this game of, well, I don't really know, David. I'm not really sure what my life purpose is. I don't really know if I'm still in love or if this person's right for me or if I should continue. I don't really know what I should be doing. And I think deep down, there is a deeper part of us, an intelligent part of us that absolutely knows if we dare to listen and if we dare to become quiet and still, but we're afraid of the consequences. So, you know, one of the questions I'm continually asking myself, no matter what level of the path I'm on, and I started asking myself back then, you know, is simply looking at the truth and looking at where am I lying? And I think if we truly want to shift our lives, if we truly want to transform our lives, if we truly want to be happy, live a fulfilled life, we have to be willing to tell the truth to ourselves. One of the things that blocks us the most are all the ways I think we lie to ourselves, we BS ourselves, we rationalize, we settle. You know, this relationship it's not so bad. You know, it's this job, it's okay. When deep down we know it's totally draining our energy, it's totally out of alignment with ourselves, we're totally out of integrity, or it's just not resonating anymore. So for me, I think what we have to really do, what I did, and what we have to do is be willing to feel, to embrace, to tell, to honor the radical truth, to be willing to tell the uncompromising truth to ourselves. I believe that telling the truth will set us free. It might first scare us. It might first piss us off. It might first threaten our old comfort zone reality. But I think there's no way to truly be happy and live a fulfilled life and grow spiritually and mentally and emotionally without telling the truth. So I think that was one thing that I'm constantly in pursuit of, is being a lover of truth, really being honest with myself about where I'm at and where I'm not. And that's been a key. So, you know, once I told the truth, I mustered up the courage at a young age to tell the truth to my father and left everything behind. I decided nothing was worth compromising my soul, my essence, and told my father I wasn't going to be taking over. I was outcast, literally. Cut a long story short, what I found is whenever we follow our highest calling, our deepest truth, which I think deep down we feel it, whether we honor it or not, we do feel it. There's a part of us that knows. And so when I decided to honor that knowing, that's when I found the universe just sort of conspired to, we often hear it, the universe is conspiring to support you, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But quite often, we are waiting for life to move, for life to change, for life to show up, when I think life is really waiting for us to take a step. And so when I took that step is when, in a nutshell, I write about this in my book, but when I actually took that step, bold step, and started going in the direction that was true, that was in alignment with my soul, is when I ended up winning a green card in the green card lottery, which was, you know, wild, and a wild story of synchronicity and magic. And for me, that was proof that when I follow my truth, my knowing, that and I bring myself into alignment with the flow, then life unfolds. Life is right there to support me. So I won a green card and came to the U.S. with two suitcases, one suitcase full of clothes, one suitcase full of books and tapes, $1,000, and literally went and found teachers and mentors and many of folks, maybe you've heard on your podcast, and best-selling authors, Wayne Dyers of the world, and learned from many of them and studied with many famous folks, obscure people, traveled the world, you know, in search of answers. Went to Japan and studied with Zen monks, in Israel with rabbis, India with gurus, in Bali with shamans. I just went and really went on a quest many years ago. And about 15 years ago, ended up in India and had some pretty profound spiritual experiences. And that's really what brought me back. And over the last 15 years, all of those perspectives from different walks of life, and some of those, you know, opposing perspectives and opposing realities that I sought out. Sometimes we try to align ourselves with only things that make us feel comfortable, only things that kind of reinforce our current identity. And what I sought to do was constantly put myself in different realities that would challenge my current identity, so that hopefully I could maybe find out what's underneath the identity, what's the deeper truth. And so I was constantly willing to, I think, let go of my current reality to find out what more was available, what more was seeking to happen, what bigger perspective was available, which was a constant, you know, death. I think it was Rumi that said, you must die before you die. And so it's been a continual process, you could say, of smashing those plateaus, those limitations of my conditioning, and stretching outside of the box. And so the last 15 years, I've been coaching and teaching and helping people break through their own limitations of who we think we are, based on our conditioning, which we can talk about also. But that's been a little bit of the journey.
Well, Kut, I think that the roadmap that you've laid out is one that yes, if we want to be successful by our own standards, not by somebody else's standards, yes, of course, we need to tell the truth to ourselves. We need to challenge our comfort zone, and we need to somehow overcome our fear of the consequences. Yet those steps are really hard to take.
Yeah.
Really hard.
They're not easy. I mean, it is scary to tell the truth. And I think it kind of threatens who we know ourselves to be. And but there's I believe that, like, telling the truth to ourselves about what we really feel, about what we really think, about what's really going on, what we really, 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 really want, it can be terrifying, you know, because it requires going outside of our comfort zone. I believe it is the ultimate spiritual practice to tell the truth. And I think that's what we have to do, you know. So for me, there's a few questions I have. So number one is, you know, what are all the lies I'm telling myself? Where am I lying to myself? What are the lies I'm telling myself? What is it that I'm pretending to not know? Because sometimes we pretend that we don't know when we really do know deep down. You know, I mean, how many times, maybe listeners can relate to this, but how many times maybe have we been in a relationship and, you know, we go back and forth in this relationship and, you know, should I do this? Or maybe a business partner, like, is this working? Does this person right? I don't know if it's right. Should I be with this person? Should I marry this person? We go back and forth and should I break up? Should I not break up? We spend months, days, years, weeks, decades, you know, in situations that aren't quite aligned. And we go back and forth in our minds. I'm confused. Should I? And when we break up or when it's over, usually there's a sense of knowing that where we go, you know what? I knew that wasn't right.
And relief too. There's exactly. Huge relief.
I knew that wasn't right. You know, or when I first met that person, I knew something was off. And I say, to really own our power, we have to take our power back. We have to reclaim our power and our responsibility and truly listen to that knowing. But sometimes to tell the truth and to listen to that knowing is scary, because when we do that, we claim responsibility. And when we do that, we can no longer say, I didn't know. We can no longer play the victim, like, oh, I didn't know, it happened to me. You know, there's another level of responsibility and another level of power that comes with that. So look at, you know, ask yourself the question, what am I pretending to not know? Then look at what are the lies I'm telling myself costing me? What is it costing me? And be willing to feel the pain. Many times we tell ourselves lies, we settle, we rationalize, it's not so bad, I'm not really hurt, it doesn't really bother me that much, no, I'm doing okay, no, I'm fine, my job's not, and all those subtle lies, those subtle half-truths kind of allow us to not feel the pain of the reality. Telling ourselves the truth will get us in touch with reality, get us in touch with feeling the pain of what it's costing us. And I think that's also one of the only ways to truly create a shift, is to be willing to feel. And then third question is to look at, what am I most afraid will happen if I tell the truth to myself about the situation? What is my greatest fear? Sometimes we create this negative future fantasy about the worst case scenario, about this crazy thing that we're afraid might happen. This person is going to leave. We're going to lose our business. And sometimes things do go wrong. But many times, I think 80, 90% of the time, we blow up in our minds this negative future fantasy about the worst case scenario that actually never happens. So I think if we're willing to consciously face our fear and face, what is my fear? What is the fear of what will happen if I really tell the truth and face it and actually make peace with the worst case? Okay, if it did happen, what would I do? If it did happen, could I deal with it and integrate that experience? I think what we're often afraid of is quite often not even close to the reality of what actually happens. And the last thing is looking at, you know, if I did tell the truth to myself, what amazing thing might happen? Because sometimes we get so focused on the worst case, sometimes we get so focused on the negative that we forget, wow, by telling the truth, yes, certain people might fall out of our lives. Maybe we might have to let go of a part of our business. Maybe, you know, we'll have to release a friend. But I believe whatever falls away as a result of us telling the truth, to really look at it from this perspective, that if it can fall away, if it can leave your life, it was not truly in alignment with your highest good to begin with. And so my prayer more and more as I speak the truth is, I say, look, being happy, being fulfilled is not difficult. It's actually quite easy. It's quite simple. It's not always easy. It's simple in that being happy just requires us to acknowledge the truth, feel the truth, tell the truth, live the truth. That's it. No more complicated than that. But we have our fears. And so I think looking at what amazing thing might happen. Wow, maybe, yes, I would end this relationship, but I might actually now have the opportunity to meet someone I really love, my soulmate, the love of my life, or I might lose this business, but it might move me in the path of my true purpose in life, not just what I think I should be doing. And so looking at that also is a key thing. But I believe telling the truth will set us free. I feel there's no way to truly do what we are here to do, live our true purpose, live our true greatness, be happy and fulfilled while living a lie. And that's, to me, the foundation of everything. The truth may set you free, but it might first piss you off, it might first upset you, but nothing is worth compromising, you know, who we are.
So Kud, if someone is in a situation where he or she realizes that the truth is that the business situation is not fulfilling. It's not really achieving the higher purpose that the person is meant to play.
Yeah.
So as you know, as an example, somebody who might be in his or her 40s or 50s, who's been in a career and a job that fits this the scenario that you've described, where it's not really what that person is meant to do in the world, and it's not really creating fulfillment on that person's own terms. It might be creating fulfillment on other people's terms. Or somebody has created a business. The business has been successful. And it gets to a point where it's kind of, in terms of fulfillment, the business owner really feels like the business is running him or running her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fulfilling. Is it really necessary to make a radical change at that point? Or can you do a better job of creating fulfillment by making some minor changes? Because part of the issue is that I see, especially if you're middle age, is that there are other people who are dependent upon you, particularly financially. If you run a business, you have employees and customers who are dependent upon what you're producing and selling. You have perhaps your own family that's dependent upon your income for meeting basic needs. And if you're in a job, you have the same situation. So do you look at making a really radical change like you've described when you made the break with your father? Or can you achieve some greater fulfillment by making a minor change?
Yeah, so here's what I'll say. I don't believe there's one cookie cutter formula for everyone. I believe every single person has a unique destiny. Every single person has a unique path in this lifetime. Every single person has unique lessons that their soul, on a spiritual level for a second, that their soul is here to learn. So everyone's going to has to find their own relationship with the truth. Everyone has to find their own relationship with themselves. Everyone has to find their own integrity. But I believe what I'll say as a foundation, whenever we are out of alignment with our integrity, we will suffer. There is no way around that. So however you want to do it, however you want to play it out in the physical world with your job, with your work, is everyone's own choice. But there is no way, if we are out of alignment with ourselves, if we are lying to ourselves, if we are not truly living in alignment, there's no real way to be deeply happy. Making more money, having more success is not going to make us happier. So here's what I'll say. Now, the first step is to, if you're in a situation, let's say you're middle-aged and you're in a situation when you're realizing, I'm not doing what I was here to do. I'm not living what I was here to live. I mean, I'm making money and I have a car, a house, I'm successful, but I'm not fulfilled inside. I can tell you right now, likely doing more of that. If you're not living what you're really here to live, or you're not in touch with your sense of purpose, nothing outside is going to change that. Making more money, doubling your business is unlikely to change that. So the first step I would say is simply acknowledge the truth and acknowledge, look, I'm not satisfied with my work. I'm not satisfied with the impact I'm making. I'm not satisfied. And to acknowledge that, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to let go of everything, sell everything, give everything away, and make a radical move and just say, I'm done and I'm out and everyone starves. No, but it does mean what we often do is we feel that inkling of dissatisfaction. I like to say that dissatisfaction is a sign of growth. Dissatisfaction is a sign of growth. At some point, you might get everything you wanted, and even if it was what you really wanted, at some point, likely you will reach a point of dissatisfaction because you're outgrowing that current stage. Maybe you get the car you want, you get the business you want, and then you reach a certain point, 5 years, 10 years, however long it is, where you've just outgrown that level. And so, to me, this is a good thing. So, if you reach the point where you're either dissatisfied, number one, don't deny that. What we often do is we deny that feeling. We get scared by, oh my God, what does that mean? And because we're afraid of the consequence of if we acknowledge the dissatisfaction, we distract ourselves, we drink it away, we sex it away, we social media away, we shop it away, we busy it away, whatever we do so we don't feel that dissatisfaction. And then there's always a niggling, underlying, lack of fulfillment inside. So I think the first step, if you're feeling any dissatisfaction, is to acknowledge it, is to acknowledge, you know, I'm feeling there's something more. I'm feeling there's something more. I'm feeling I'm not quite feeling fully aligned. And to start an exploration with yourself to dig deeper as to what is it that is seeking to happen? What is the next level seek? What is the next level that's seeking to express through me? What is that like? And to create the time, the space, the moments in your life to journal, to meditate, to take some walks, and to actually have an inner excavation to feel what is seeking to happen next. I don't believe you have to just get rid of everything. That's one thing, you know. But the other thing is I feel it provides also an opportunity for a deeper self-exploration to find a deeper level. Maybe what your purpose has been up until that point is no longer your purpose. Maybe your purpose up until that point in 20s, 30s was just to make some money and feed the family. And that was it. And now it's like, just making money is not enough. I think this is a great thing because then there's a deeper sense of purpose that is seeking to express itself through us. And to me, this is a sign of growth. So we have to now perhaps be willing to find either two things, either in our current structure to find a deeper why, a deeper motivation and deeper sense of purpose as to why we're running our business now. Before it was just to make money, to be number one, whatever it was. Now we have to find a deeper sense. Maybe it's a deeper sense of why am I doing what I'm doing, a deeper sense of contribution, a deeper sense of I believe our businesses and our structures can be vehicles, not means to it, not just means to an end in and of themselves, but vehicles to live our purpose through, you know. And like, look at Tom's shoes. I mean, it's shoes. I mean, big deal, shoes. But you know, he's using it as a vehicle to live a deeper sense of purpose through. So I think if we're at that point, doesn't mean you have to get rid of what you're doing. But I think it's an opportunity to go deeper within oneself to find a deeper sense of purpose and within what you're doing. Or, you know, you may be at a place. And I think if you're at this place, it's important to be honest about that too. And not everyone is maybe at this place, but if you're at a place where you realize what I'm doing is completely out of alignment with my integrity. You know, I know I have a client in my life who, you know, I won't obviously mention any names, but I have a client in my life who was deepening spiritually, growing spiritually, came on some of my journeys to Bali and some of my events and seminars and was deepening spiritually and soulfully and meditating and healthy lifestyle and what have you, yet had made his money, had made a ton of money selling drugs. And you know, not that it's good or bad, but, you know, he was reaching an inner point, an inner moment of integrity reflection within himself where he was realizing, not by anyone else's judgment, but as he was deepening in his own self and spiritual growth and evolution and stage in his life, realizing, yes, it makes me a ton of money, but it's completely unfulfilling. I don't feel I'm really contributing to the world anymore. I don't feel this is the best use of my gifts and God-given talents. And it's certainly not me living my purpose. And if I were to die today, I would not feel a sense of I'm alive. And so for him, you know, he realized I have to make a radical shift. Now, he didn't make the radical shift like today, but he started to plan and explore and put into action, which wasn't years. It was a matter of months, what he needed to do to actually make the transition out of his old reality, his current structure, so that he could then recreate and find a new structure. And for someone like that, maybe it's not as radical as, hey, you're selling drugs. Maybe you're selling insurance and you have zero passion. It drains you. You hate it. It's just, it doesn't bring a sense of aliveness. Then, yeah, I would say consider a radical shift. That radical shift doesn't have to be overnight, but that radical shift may be truly going in the direction and having the courage to transform and change the current structure of your life. You know, sometimes there is a danger, David. I call it the trap of success. When you do something, can you do it well, and you get results for it, and people reward you for it, and you create a life and a business and a lifestyle that actually is quite great. It's amazing, sometimes very elaborate, and it becomes a trap. We become trapped by the machine that we've created. And I believe that when we become trapped by the machine that we've created, especially if it's no longer in alignment with our deepest expression, then we're just a slave and we won't be happy no matter how well it does. So I think we have to We have to be willing to go where it's a little scary. To me, life is a process of evolution, and to go where it's a little scary. So I would invite those listening to ask themselves the question, you know, and then you have to find how, what method you're going to use to go about, you know, finding that deeper expression. But how is doing more, how is doing, what is working in my life currently, and how is doing more of what's working? Now, let me repeat this question. What is working in my life currently, and how is doing more of what's working actually inhibiting the next level of my growth? How is doing more of it inhibiting the next level of my growth? Because sometimes just continuing the path of doing more of the same, of the same, of the same, because it's working, is actually inhibiting the next level of our growth. And I think it takes, look, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to be honest about that. So if you have, you know, kids and people that are dependent on you, I think there is a compassionate, integrous way of restructuring and finding your truth and still, you know, supporting and being responsible to the obligations and responsibilities in one's life.
Right. So what I'm hearing from you is something that maybe we might describe as sensible courage.
Yeah, you could call it sensible courage. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, oh, this is not in alignment, I'm leaving everything today. But what we, what often keeps us stuck is we feel the deeper pull, the deeper truth, something more, and it scares us because we're afraid. Oh my God, what will happen to my business? Oh my God, what's going to happen to my relationship? Oh my, and then we deny it, and then we lie, and we suppress it, and then we suppress it, and we suppress it, and we suppress it, and we wonder why we feel miserable. We wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we're unhappy. You know, then we're reading the books, we're meditating, we go to church, we go to temple, we do yoga, but we're lying to ourselves, right? We're drinking the green juice, we're doing Reiki, we're doing what have you, and we're going to seminars, and we're lying to ourselves. So I say, look, the most spiritual thing you can do is this is a little exaggeration, obviously, David, but like, stop meditating, stop praying, stop going to the temple, stop doing yoga, and tell the truth.
Right, and stop lying.
Because many of the things that you're praying, meditating, doing spiritual practices to overcome would naturally dissolve if you just stop lying. You wouldn't have to pray about that thing that you're praying about for God's help for if you just stop lying, because if you stop lying and did something about it, you wouldn't have to pray about it.
It's so true. So who do you know personally who has been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Who do I know personally? Wow. Give me a second to think about that. Who do I know? I mean, honestly, the first person that popped up, and this is quite funny, is my father. I wasn't planning on saying that. But my father was a guy I grew up with. My father was a man I've seen, you know, close hand, and he's someone that's always smashed plateaus because limitations of what was possible. You know, here's a man who would literally, David, look at a woman in a wheelchair and say, "Stand up. You're not sick. Stand up," and would align himself with a higher reality. Would not allow the current situation and circumstance. You know, many times we look at a situation, a circumstance, and we allow that to determine who we are going to be. We allow our current situation or the limitation of a current reality to determine how we're going to feel. And he would look at someone and say, "You're not sick, stand up," and face that limitation fearlessly. And I think it was tremendously courageous, so to speak. Talk about smashing the plateau of what was supposedly possible. And so I think he's someone that has demonstrated that time and time again, a man who was born in Africa on a concrete floor with in complete poverty, who ended up traveling the world and reaching, you know, millions of people in his lifetime and still alive. But he's was advisor to presidents and kings in Africa, and done a lot of amazing things in his lifetime. By far, far from a perfect person, but in terms of limitations, a man who lived with, still alive and living with tremendous courage.
Great example. And Ku, what can we look forward to in the near future from you?
Well, one of the things I'm passionate about is obviously my book, You Are the One, which has been out a few months now. Working on a TV project, which I'm really excited about, a reality TV project for mainstream television. So keep your eyes out on how that develops and unfolds, folks. One of the things I'm also really passionate about, for those that might feel an inkling to maybe go to that next level themselves, is twice a year I do an event in Bali called Boundless Bliss Bali for entrepreneurs, visionaries. We've had over the last 5 years 200 people that have been through this particular intensive program where I take 20 people to Bali on a 12-day intensive seminar training without walls, where I use Bali as the backdrop, and I help you strip away the layers of your conditioning, help you find yourself, your purpose, so that you can catapult and live your future. We've had celebrities, billionaires, you know, world leaders come on this journey, and that's, people can find out about that at www.boundlessblissbali.com. And, you know, I mean, there's so much I'm excited about. I'm training leaders and coaches in my, in what's called the Coach Apprentice Program. You can find out about that on my website. We've done that for a few years now, and it's amazing. I believe more than ever that the world needs leaders. I believe more than ever that we're living in, you know, intense times right now, times of tremendous change, times of tremendous challenge, that more than ever, we have to all step up and live our gifts and love fully, that with every thought and action, intention, we are co-creating our world and our future, and that we all individually must do our part to raise our consciousness and evolve. And we're living in these intense times. You know, we can allow outer circumstances to determine who we're going to be, or we can consciously choose love. So I'm really excited about training leaders who want to speak, teach, coach, give their gifts to the world. And that's part of the next level of what I'm up to. And you know, quite frankly, David, using media as a vehicle to impact consciousness. So there's more, but those are a couple of things.
That's great. Well, Kud, it's been really great having you on Smashing the Plateau today to talk about your experiences and in particular, what it takes to create fulfillment for ourselves and spread a powerful message for those we serve in the world. So thank you for coming on the show today. My guest today has been Kud Blackson, a really charismatic, visionary, and transformational teacher. Thanks again, Kud, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.